Well, that was in my email. I'm from Calvary Chapel, Pico Rivera. I serve over there in ministry. My husband's a church leader, and I serve with Dan and Julie over there. And it's been a real blessing, but the biggest blessing is that we're an outreacher of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada. So we're a church plant, and we're just really blessed by you women inviting us to your retreat. So I want to go ahead and open and pray. Father, we just give you this time, Lord, and we ask that you show us what your word has to say about suffering and joy, Father. And I pray that hearts are open, eyes are open, Lord, and ears are open to what you have to say, Father. It's not about the speaker, Lord, but it's about the Creator, Father. And I just ask your hand on us, Father, and just give us what you need us to hear, Father. You know what these women need. I don't, Father. So I just ask that you bring those things to my mind, Lord, to comfort them and give them all that they need, Father. Just none of me, but all of you, Father. And we give you this time. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want to do is share a little bit about my personal testimony and what God did with suffering and pain in my life and how he transformed it and turned it around and made me a useful person that he could use in his ministries. I'll make it short, but I got back and neck injuries back about 4 years ago, and those injuries were debilitating, both emotionally and physically. I went through a lot, and I didn't understand the pain, and I didn't understand why God was putting me through that, and I was told, you know, you're never going to do the things that you used to do. You can't work anymore. Your job's pretty much going to be taken away from you. You can't do anything physical with your kids anymore. I had two small boys at the time. And it was really life-changing. I felt like if the Lord had just pulled the rug out from underneath my feet, like in one day. And my life was just absolutely changed. It was like I was really struggling. And I was taken off work. I had been, you know, had a career. Worked for a long time and thought that I was going to go, you know, up the ladder, and I had my whole life planned out, and but God had something else for me. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was starting to fall into a little bit of depression. Once I was off work, about 4 to 6 weeks, I really started really struggling with it, and the reality of that, my life was different both physically and financially and socially and every other way I could imagine that my life could be different. So I just started seeking God, and I remember just being at home one day, and I didn't have to take the kids to school because my husband would take them. He knew I was in a lot of physical pain, and I had really bad headaches all the time because I had a disc injured in my neck that caused me these really incredible headaches, pain all down my spine. I have low back pain, and I had a hard time functioning with normal daily activities. And I found myself at home one day, and I remember looking at the clock, and I remember it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I said, Lord, I have to pick up my kids at 2 o'clock. How, I can't get out of bed. I found myself unable to even get out of bed. And I was a Christian. I had gone to church. I had gone to church for a long time at a Calvary Chapel. I knew the word, I knew to pray, and I knew the Lord. I loved him, and I just didn't live for him. I loved him, but I didn't live for the Lord. But I did remember to pray, and I started asking God. You know, I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I cannot do this by myself. I can't get out of bed. I can't do all the physical things I need to do to take care of my family or to work. I can't do this, Lord. You need to help me. And please help me understand, Lord, what you're trying to show me. Why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve it? I'm a good person. I felt like I just needed to seek him and find the answers. And in that moment, I heard a voice, internal voice, not like I knew someone was there, but I heard that internal voice, and it said, read Romans 8:28. So I want you to go there with me. And it says, I'll read it for you. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Well, we know that all things that happen are not good, because this obviously was not good. This, my suffering, my pain was not good. But it says that it works together for good. And that, that we can't really understand. We don't know what that good's going to be. God doesn't show us right away. He may not even show us in this lifetime. Those things that we're going through, the suffering, the pain, maybe it's a family member that's in pain. Who in here right now is living with chronic pain? Is anyone in here with chronic pain? Okay. What about a family member that's in chronic pain? And just any other kind of suffering, does anyone want to kind of throw anything out like they're dealing with? Like
Depression.
Okay. Anything else? Depression. So we have chronic pain.
The doctors can't figure out. It's been 4 years. In fact, I have no idea. Life changing utterly. It's very
hard. Yeah. So we know that it's not saying all things are good. It's saying that he's going to work together all things for good. All things, not some things. It doesn't say a little bit of things or, you know, just most things. It says all things. He's going to work all things together. We're going to get to that point. For those who are called according to his purpose, those who love God, that's us, the believer. It's not the unbeliever. It's not the person that's involved in sin. It's talking to the us, his children, his daughters, and it's going to be worked out for his purpose. But the main purpose is that we be conformed to the image of his son. And if I ask to show of hands again, who came to Christ, who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior because of their suffering, or seeing someone else suffer, or our pain, or our anxiety, or our depression, who here can say that they came to the Lord because of suffering? I know I did. I mean, I was a believer, but I didn't live for the Lord. I was living for myself. I was into myself. I just cared about, I went to church once a week, and then that was it. I was like that lukewarm church. I didn't want to give God anything. I just wanted everything for myself. But he had something else planned. He knew what was coming in the future. This new fledgling church was going to be opening up, and he needed to take me and make me useful. So I know that our suffering, even though we can't understand it, especially with a child that's ill, we do not understand it, but God knows why he's working. He knows why he's working those things out. And we just have to trust in him and believe that all things work together for the good of those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose, so that we might be conformed to the image of his son. Well, I would like to turn for a moment, since we were talking about not understanding. Let's go to Isaiah 55:8. God's will works together things for his eternal good, not our present good. Our present condition is not his eternal good. His plan for us is that we gain salvation and that we persevere to the end and that we end up in heaven with him. That's why he puts us through the things he puts us through. And we don't understand it, and we question him, and we lose that faith, and we stumble, and we get anxious, and we get depressed, because we think that we should understand God, but we can't. There's no possible way. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we have to keep that mindset. Yes, Lord, I'm going through that. My circumstances are dire. I'm in distress. I'm in despair. But I don't understand why. When I go to be with you, or later on, you'll show me why. Because your word says that my ways are not your ways. I know that some of our sin unfortunately, is some of our suffering is because of sin. We see in Genesis 3, you don't have to turn there unless you'd like to, but we see Adam and Eve sinning in the garden. So when they sinned, creation became corrupted. So sin was just, had taken over all of creation. That includes our bodies. So these bodies, they don't last. These bodies get ill. These bodies suffer a lot of pain. We get back pain. We get arthritis. We get diseases. We get cancer. Our family members get cancer. They get, our children get ill. And we can't put a finger on it, but a lot of that is brought on by the corruption of creation in the garden. So if we kind of have to look at that and realize that and realize that God is not trying to hurt us. He's not trying to punish us. He's not trying to punish our children. It's just, sometimes it's just a consequence of sin. Sometimes we're affected by other people's sins, like women who have gone through divorce, the pain of divorce, the pain of their husband's sin, possibly, or divorce because of their own sin, or a drunk driver, you know, being in sin and killing innocent people. A lot of our sin just makes consequences for other people. But I do want to go to Romans 8:18. I want to make it more positive. Let's not focus on the negative, but let's focus on the positive. Romans 8:18 through 19 says, and this is our assurance, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God." That's us, the sons of God. And we're waiting for creation to go back to the way it was in the garden. And that's when we get to go be with the Lord, or we're taken up in the rapture, or we die and go to heaven. That time, when we get to see creation back to the way it should have been. And it says here in 21, "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." So that shows us that because of the sin in the garden, it's going to change. And when we get to be with the Lord, it's going to change. Another verse. Let's change gears a little bit. Go to Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. Jeremiah 18, 1. We'll start in 1. While you're turning there, I know when that day when my life seemed to change for me, and pain was brought on, and all the suffering that would follow a little bit later. I felt like if I was this pot, and that God saw me, but I wasn't useful. I wasn't useful to Him. And He needed to change me. He needed to burn off all of the junk that was hindering me, all my pride, all my selfishness, all my any sin that I had. He needed to make me useful. So I felt like, and I tell people this, and they look at me kind of weird, but I felt like this pot, and God just said, you know, I want to use you, I want to bless your life, I want to give you eternity and salvation, and I want to give you glory, but you're no good to me the way you are. You're lukewarm. You have one foot in and one foot out. So I felt like He took this giant hammer and just smashed me into a million pieces. And that was really painful. It was really painful. And I felt like once He did that, being the loving Creator that He is, He slowly took that time and just remolded me. And He had me on the wheel, and He was molding me and shaping me and chiseling and bending and prodding and moving me around and making me into something that he could use later, that someone that could minister to others, that I could take the pain and grow in it and seek what he had for me and find my use for it and give it to others. And he showed me the verse and he said, go to Romans 8:28. And I know it's not just for me, it's for you. It's for all of us. He didn't show me that so I could just know that myself and keep it in, oh, I'm going to just keep that to myself. He spoke to me through his word. He could have appeared and said, oh, you know, Joy, kind of sat down and said, you know, don't worry, it's all going to work out. I got something planned for you. I got something I want to work out. I'm going to call your husband to lead in the church. I'm going to pull you into ministries. I'm going to have you working for me. He didn't say that. He just said, go to my word. It's right here. I'm going to work it out. I'm the creator. You're the created. And I want to read here. In 18:1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter. See, he has the power. He's the creator. He's the master potter, and we're the clay. And if we just look at it and take that into perspective and realize that he knows what he's making us into. Our suffering, the pain, the anxiety, the depression, all those things that he puts us through, those things make us useful to him. It makes us humble. It makes us meek. It makes us compassionate. Now I can get up here and share my story with you and have compassion for you. This woman with her child ill, you think she's not going to be able to minister to people who have ill children? She's going to be very useful in God's kingdom. She could make the difference in somebody's life by her prayer because God will hear it. She's so useful to him. And I know when we go through, you know, these things are hard and we don't understand it, but God knows what he's doing. He's the potter, we're the clay. He molds as he sees fit. And we just have to believe in that and we have to trust him and obey and be obedient. Being obedient and having the faith and the trust when you don't want to or when it's harder than you can imagine, that's worship. Mm-hmm. That's our worship to him. Worship isn't just singing. We have our worship leader right here, she knows. Getting up there and singing, that's not it. That's not all we do to worship God. Trusting him in our circumstances. Having faith in him during our circumstances. Trusting that he's going to make it all work out for his eternal good. For our eternal good. Not necessarily for our present condition. Because our present condition, it's temporary. These bodies, we don't take them with us. They're not useful. No flesh will glory in heaven. No flesh can enter heaven. That's why we have to die to flesh here. And many times, how does that happen? In our suffering. If I asked all you ladies, and be thinking about it while I finish the sentence, if you could tell me one thing that's come out of your suffering, I bet I could come up, and you guys could give me some incredible answers. You could give me some incredible, amazing testimonies. Who has something that they could say has happened to them through their suffering that they know is useful to God? Does anybody have anything? Yes.
In 2004 and 2005, my son was deployed to in Iraq. For 8 months at a time each year, and the Lord just showed me to trust in him, and then he would protect my son, and he gave his heart. It didn't work the first time. The second time he took a bath, that's when he totally committed his life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to die. Every time I would see someone in a uniform or just hear the news, I would crumble and cringe, and the enemy was there to pick at me. Even while I was reading my word, there were just fiery darts, like I could hear someone knocking at the door that my son didn't make it. And the Lord just showed me how to trust him more.
Yes, trust. And he wants us to trust him. He loves us. We're his daughters. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die. And you think if he loved us that much that he sent his son to die for us, that he would allow us to suffer unnecessarily? No way. It's not unnecessarily. It's necessary. What we suffer, it's necessary. Painful, but it's useful and it's necessary. And we don't know why sometimes, and we may not know till we go to be with the Lord. And on that day, when we see him, we're going to say, wow, now I understand. I was a witness to my neighbors, to my husband, to my children, to the women at church, to my whoever we come in contact with. When we suffer with joy, we are an incredible witness. We're walking Jesus's. Because what did he do? He came to suffer. He didn't come to sit in some mansion and be a king and be served. He came as a suffering servant. Now we, as his followers, may have to suffer. And it's unfortunate. Angelina, did you have something? He had to strip that away from you. He had to just peel that off. Like our bitterness, or our anger, our resentment of others, our envy, our jealous, our... there's just so many things that we do that God can't use. And he knows, and if he really loves us, he'll take those things away so we can be with him for eternity. And he's going to work that out here. Because we're kingdom bound. We're going to heaven. And he's working it out that we'll get there. And that's why he's given us all these scriptures. We've all suffered. You know, how much did Paul suffer? I want to go to a couple verses. 2 Corinthians 4:17, 18. Great verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, 4:17, 18, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So these bodies, they're gonna perish. They get injured, they get diseased, they won't last, but it's our spirit that goes on. And he's going to take us through those things, the suffering, the pain, the affliction, all that stuff. He's going to burn off all the junk. He's going to make us ministers of his word. He's going to make us have compassion for one another. We're going to be a walking witness to our sisters, to our families, to our unsaved neighbors. When they see us in joy and they know what we're going through, look at all the families where they have children in Iraq and all over the world. They don't know if they're going to see their children again. But we as believers, we're holding on and we're saying, but you know what? I know where I'm going and I know where my son's going. Or I know where my child is going. We're going to be with the Lord. and he's going to get us through what we need. I love this verse, and it's so great that Julie brought this up. 1 Corinthians 2:9, you don't have to turn there, but we'll go over it again. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He loves us, and he would not let us suffer if he didn't want to work something out in our lives. There's no way he would let us go through that. He loves us too much. 1 Peter 4:12 through 14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. I can honestly say that if I went back 4 years, and because now I suffer with chronic pain, I have pain every day. I've had a headache for 4 years. I have low back all the way up to my neck. Constant chronic pain. But if you would ask me, if I could go back those 4 years, and if God could say, hey, I'll take all that away, not make you go through all that, but you're just going to have the life that you used to have. You're going to just be at work all day, trying to make a, you know, building that castle in the sand. If you want all that, I'll give you that. But you're not gonna have me in your heart that way. You're not gonna be a minister of my work. You're not gonna be able to share with others what I've given you. You're not gonna be useful to me. You're not gonna be in ministry. You're not. There's no way I take it back. There's no way. Give me the pain any day. That Christ's spirit might rest upon me. That the spirit of glory and of God will rest upon me. I take that any day. I'll take the pain any day. Because I was a sinner. I'm a sinner today. But I was not in his plan at all. I was not in his hand, not in his will. I was doing nothing that he wanted me to do. I wasn't useful to him. If we're not useful to God, then what is our purpose? If we're not going to be used by him, if he's not going to be the Lord of our lives, if he's not going to be everything for us, our husbands can't be everything for us. They're not going to be. Our husbands will fail us. We could have great husbands. I have a great husband. I'm blessed. But our husbands are going to fail us. Our kids are going to fail us. Our friends are going to fail us. Everyone's going to fail us. But the Lord is not going to fail us. He will never fail us. And he's going to use what we go through, and he's going to work it out for our eternal good and for God's glory. Because we live and exist to give God the glory. God is to be glorified through our lives. And the suffering, pain, affliction, distress, depression, illnesses, all those are worked out of us to give God glory. It's all to give God glory. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We know that Christ's suffering brought forth God's ultimate plan. Salvation. We got to ask ourselves, not that we can compare to Christ, because that's absolutely not going to happen, but what's brought about by our suffering? We talked about that a little bit earlier. We can relate to others. Well, just to recap, we'll, through our suffering, pain, everything that we've already gone through, those things that shaped us, we can relate to others. We can have compassion for others. We can reflect Christ. We can try and be like Jesus to other people. We can give Jesus to other people. How are we going to give people Jesus if we haven't gone through things ourselves? If we have not been there, if we have not... He came to relate to us, and now we have to relate to others who need it. we have sisters hurting. I talk to sisters in our church, and it seems like everyone I talk to, when they really open up, there's a lot of pain there. They've been through a lot. And I just, I can minister to them. I can, you know, share my story, and I just have such an open heart to people who are hurting. I have such a compassion for them. And that's what we're supposed to use our suffering for. We're supposed to turn it into joy. And God will bless us. And the other people can gain from us. They can gain that wisdom. They can grow in the Lord. We can be that witness. We just have to believe. We have to believe in His promises. We're given the assurances. They're all right here. Just like when I was in that pit and couldn't get out. I was stuck in that pit. I couldn't get off my bed. I said, God, please show me. Show me what I can learn. Show me how this is going to work out. And He said, there you go. It's all right here. So when we just take His word and we believe in it, and we have faith, and we don't have to see. We can believe without seeing. Like Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who believe and have not seen in His promises. Thank you. Father, we just thank You for this time, Lord, and I ask that You just are here with us, Father. I just want to take a few minutes and lay hands on some of these women, Lord, who are really hurting, Father. Those who might be in just a little bit of a better season, Father, that they just pour out their hearts, Father. And I just thank You for Your words, Lord, Your assurances, Your promises, Your just Your hope, Lord, that You give us in Your word, Father, saying and showing us that everything we go through, Father, it's light compared to eternal glory, Father. It can't be compared. Our present suffering, Father, is just not even compared to Your eternal glory. Those things that You have prepared for us, Father, we don't even understand. We can't possibly comprehend, Father, but You're the master potter. You are the one who molds the clay, Father, and You know what's good for us. You know what's best for us, Lord. Let us just accept Your will, Father. Let these women just learn to submit to Your Holy Spirit, Father. Yield to Your Holy Spirit and those things that You're trying to show us, Lord. Please make those things clear, Father. But mostly, Lord, draw us close to You, Father. Draw us close to Your throne, Lord God. Let us just be at Your feet, Father. Our suffering and pain and depression and illness, Lord, it draws us to Your throne, Lord, to our knees, Father, where we need to be. The only place that's pleasing to You, Lord, is when we're at Your throne, Father God. So I just ask for, just Lord, even if You just have a word for one of these ladies, Father, or as we gather around and we're going to bring those who are really, really in need of prayer today, we're going to just lay hands on them, Father, and just, Lord, just be magnified in this place, Lord God, and just pour out Your Spirit, Lord. And if You want to heal, Lord, You heal, Father. It's going to be by Your hand. It's not any man or any woman can do, Lord. It's all You, Father. And I just pray that You just open the floodgates, Lord, and break those barriers, Lord, the barriers that hinder us, Lord, from You, Lord. Break down those walls, Father, and just let the women open up in submission, Lord, to what they're going through, and submitted to You at Your feet, Lord God, whether it's pain or just a loved one going through something, Lord, that we lay it down to You, Lord God. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' name.